Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome back to season two of Visiting Dugout, a Fans First Sports Network production. If you're new here, I'm Crystal O'Keefe, podcaster, managing editor, writer, everything else for Southside Sox. Today I have a returning guest, Mari McPherson, on to discuss the Guardians. Welcome back. Feel free to reintroduce yourself.
Thank you for having me. Good to be back. So the names are Mari McPherson and of course, I cover the Guardians, pretty much everything, all Cleveland sports, mainly, I guess you could say mainly baseball. Baseball is my favorite sport, so it's pretty easy for me to cover that. I'm here to talk baseball. I love talking baseball, so.
Yeah, for real. It was fun last time. So, What is new in Cleveland?
New in Cleveland? Well, we've got a lot, actually. We've got a new manager. We've got some new guys on the roster, some new starting guys as well, new shortstop, new starting center fielder. Still pretty young roster as we've had the past couple of years. That hasn't changed. But it's kind of a transition point in Cleveland. But at the same time, we're still keeping that belief that, you know, being in the AL Central, and you know this as well as anybody, with how the division is, just almost anybody could kind of make a run for it. Of course, at the top, it's been Minnesota and Cleveland. But, you know, with that being said, no matter how young we are or have been, we believe that, you know, we can make that run. And so we're hoping we can make another playoff push because it was pretty disappointing last year.
Yeah, I picked you guys for this year in our predictions article that we did. I have a good feeling about your team this year. And again, we're in such a terrible division, the worst one in the league. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's between you and the Tigers. I'm kind of sick of the Twins, so I'm hoping.
Oh, trust me, we are too. So. Yeah. But we beat them yesterday. We're off today, and then we have another two to wrap up the weekend. So we're hoping we at least win one of those two, if not both. So.
And then we are your home opener. I did see
that's
that.
Correct. Yeah.
Are you able to go?
I'm not sure yet. So, because of course, as you know, I was an employee last season. I don't know if I'll be back this year. Still don't know. So I'm hoping I can because I think it'll be cool. So we pushed back, for people that don't know, we pushed back our home opener, the start time, so that people, because we're directly in line for the solar eclipse. So people who go to the game can actually watch the eclipse in the stadium. So our gates will be open. So I think that would be pretty cool to kind of witness and experience. But to this point, I don't know yet.
Yeah, that would be really cool to see it at a ballpark. I know where I'm at in Indy, we are right there too. My kids are out of school that day and everything. They sit them home with glasses and they're like, be safe. Don't look directly in it.
Yeah, cover your eyes.
Yeah. So with that being said, you made so many changes this year. So how would you grade their offseason?
To be honest, like a C. Like, I think that the biggest thing has been hiring Steven Vogt as our manager. For me, me personally, he was my second choice behind Craig Counsell. Of course, he went to the Cubs. Mm-hmm. But I think even for him not having any managerial experience and just so little coaching experience because he just retired in, what, 2022? So just 2 years ago. I think it was a good hire. I mean, in baseball circles, you hear nothing but good things about him, his personality. Being a catcher, being baseball fans, I'm sure you know that a lot of catchers, for whatever reason, make good managers, or mm-hmm. they become managers at least. Yeah. So I think that I was happy with that choice, that hire, when the news came down. And so far, I think the pulse around Cleveland is that has been pretty good. Obviously, we're off to a good start record wise. It's a long season, so I'm trying not to, I am taking it with a grain of salt, because it's been Seattle and Oakland. But so far, his lineup construction, who we have on the 25-man roster, I think his bullpen use has probably been the shakiest thing so far for me. But so far, I think he's done an excellent job. And like I said, it's only been a week, so we've got so much more to try to figure out over the course of the year. But so far, I mean, I think we are 6-2. So yeah, it's been nothing but happy vibes here in Cleveland.
And Cleveland is so great at developing pitchers anyway. So even with a shaky bullpen, I feel like in the next few weeks, I'll be like, okay, we're good.
Yeah, the biggest thing for me is the fact that we have three sophomores in our rotation. One of them's hurt right now, so he's not able to play. And that fifth starter is Carlos Carrasco, who is in his late 30s. I think he's 38. So former Cleveland pitcher, but obviously past his prime. And it's like you don't want to rely so much on those three sophomores because they're so young, coming off their rookie seasons, especially two of them, Logan Allen and Grant. Of course, I blank on his last name. Anyway, they didn't start the season last year in the major league roster, so they don't have a full year of experience. Mm-hmm. So it was just putting that stress on their arms that, you kind of want to watch for. Plus, the other two are coming off of injury riddled seasons in Bieber and McKenzie. So it's up in the air. Every time somebody goes out there and starts, it's just like you're watching and you have your fingers crossed the whole time. But so far it's been okay. So I guess we should have nothing to complain about.
Yeah, that's true. I understand that feeling because Garrett Crochet right now is like our best starter, and he missed an entire season from Tommy John, and he hadn't been a starter since college, maybe even before that. I'd have to go back and check, but he hasn't been a starter in many years now, and now he's suddenly like our ace. But I saw this exact same thing going on with Michael Kopech for 5 billion years, it seems like now, where they can't maintain him. They will either just go in and completely make him pitch until he's got a dead arm, or he's just completely underdeveloped or he's injured, and it's so frustrating. So I understand mm-hmm. that one.
Yeah, I was going to say, I watched his first start and it was very good. And I don't know, just kind of overall with the division anyway, I feel like all five teams didn't really do much in the offseason to kind of improve, mm-hmm. Minnesota and Cleveland included in that. And so I don't know if maybe he could become a trade piece for you guys, because at the same time, we're dealing with that with Shane Bieber, where it's like, do we trade him? Do we not trade him? And his first two starts, he looks like Cy Young Award winning Shane mm-hmm. Bieber again. So it's like, okay, well, do we keep him because he is doing good and we could use that pitching? We could use that good pitching. Or do we flip him for somebody else that, we probably should have gone for in the offseason, but for whatever reason we didn't, and try to, make that postseason push. So I don't know. I feel like, as you've said it before, you've been very real, probably the realest person as a Chicago White Sox fan that I know, talking about how bad the team is and just how dysfunctional they are and front office and the players and everything that's going on in that city. So I don't know. Maybe that's the plan. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe. I know he's in the bullpen right now and he's had some rough times. He did get his first career save the other night, though, and that was a Garrett Crochet's got the win. It was wonderful. But Yeah, you're right. And it's funny that you say how real I've been. I was on a Tigers podcast recently, and it was a live airing, and somebody was typing in comments, and they were like, "I like her. She speaks the truth."
Literally.
I mean, I can't sugarcoat these games for you guys.
Yeah.
It's going to be brutal this year.
Yeah, I don't know what to think. I was just talking to a good friend of mine on my last episode for my podcast about the White Sox, and I mean, not that I was disparaging them, but it's just like, I'm not really afraid of the White Sox. Like the Royals, they signed Bobby Witt and they have this youth movement as well, but I'm not really afraid of them. The Tigers are good. They're 5-0 now. I think they're maybe 6-0. I'm not sure. But not really afraid of them. And it's just like, it really is just Cleveland and Minnesota, honestly, until someone else proves otherwise. Because even, like I said, even Cleveland and Minnesota didn't really do anything during the offseason to really improve and like take that next step and say, okay, well, we're the kings of this division. So it kind of is a crapshoot. And maybe we'll have that wild card where it could be Chicago or Detroit that try to make that push. Because, I mean, Cleveland did finish third place last year. So. You never know.
It's a wild division. I'm just happy that we're not in the same division as like the Yankees and the Orioles right now. Like, I'm happy that
Yeah,
we're not.
AL East, NL West, all tough divisions I would not want to be a part of.
So are you feeling confident about, I mean, you mentioned you guys are kind of in that belief mode right now. Do you feel confident that they can come out on top, or at least have a good season with all these new guys?
Yeah, I do. I feel like myself included, obviously, I feel like a lot of Cleveland fans went into the season with, like I said, that belief where we weren't like pessimistic, to like, oh, here we go. Even with us not really having an exciting offseason, I think the pieces that we already have, hoping that Josh Naylor can continue from last season. Obviously, we still have Jose Ramirez. Steven Kwan is excellent in left field. Andrés Giménez, hopefully he offensively can get back to where he was 2 years ago. And he still had a pretty decent season last year. And he won the Platinum Glove Award last year. So he's, I mean, arguably the best defensive second baseman in baseball. So we have key pieces that we can build around, Bo Naylor included, plus the pitching staff that everybody knows about. So there are things that you can be excited about despite not having an exciting offseason. And then you add on top of that, a new manager. But despite it being a new manager and not have him not having that experience, everybody's been happy with his hiring, and it's been nothing but great so far through spring training. As we know, those are exhibition games, so the record doesn't really matter. And so far during the season, like I said, his lineup construction has been excellent. He was quoted saying that, I'm going to construct my lineup to beat that day's pitcher, so it's not going to be the same every day, whether you like it or not. So far in the season, like I said, it's only been a week in, but I do think that despite everything that's been going on, or even the lack thereof, it's pretty positive things to look at so far in Cleveland. And despite the 6-2 record, which I feel like may scare some people because it's like, holy crap, are we really this good? But like I said, we faced Oakland and Seattle, so I'm taking it with a grain of salt. And so we'll see. It's only been a week in the season, but so far so good.
So now I have to bring this up. Now that Tim Anderson is gone, who is the new target for you guys to bully?
Oh, that is, I don't know, because Jose Abreu is gone as well. Tim Anderson is gone. I don't know. Maybe Giménez, maybe Robert. I don't know. Maybe Bobby Witt. He's been pretty good. No, you know who it is? It's Max Kepler. For whatever reason, and I know it's the Twins and not the White Sox, but for whatever reason, Max Kepler, when he sees, especially in Cleveland, it's like he's playing on rookie mode. For whatever reason, he just demolishes Cleveland whenever he gets the chance. He's like the new Paul Konerko.
Well, the good news is you probably won't see Eloy Jimenez because he's on the injured list already. So there you go. But Luis Robert, he can taunt you guys for sure. He's
Yeah,
so
he's pretty good. even as a Cleveland fan, kind of rooting for him from a distance because he is pretty good. Hopefully he can stay healthy, especially Jimenez as well. They both seem to kind of stay injured and don't really click at the same time, which is really unfortunate for you guys. So hopefully that happens. But yeah, it's kind of on his shoulders now because Jimenez is on the IL. So hopefully they can put it together. I mean, I feel like he's probably your guys' best player now, or probably has been for a couple seasons now. But yeah, hopefully they can put it together. I mean, he is a really good player, somebody that I don't want to pitch to, certainly, especially if the game is late and you know, close. Yeah, so maybe that, to answer your question, it could be him, somebody that I would be afraid of in that lineup.
Yeah, he's a good one to me. So we will take a very short break and be right back to talk about this series. And we are back. So, like I mentioned, this is your home opener, your Eclipse opener, which is really fun. But obviously, let's chat about pitching. There aren't any probable pitchers listed, just yet, because we're a few days ahead. The only one I saw was Michael Soroka for game two. So, tell me something about your rotation. Something good, because I know you've got a lot of post injuries, but
yeah, we do, unfortunately, already pretty early. I think if you do just kind of project it out over who's pitched already, I think Shane Bieber, I think, is projected for the home opener, which is really good because he's our ace, obviously.
Yeah.
I think Tristan as well, because he didn't pitch in the first four. If you were plotting it out, he would be our number two, but he didn't pitch in the first four games. He didn't pitch until Seattle, so he'll probably go as well. Mm-hmm. He kind of got roughed up in Seattle. But, yeah, injuries with Williams in our starting rotation. Like I said, we've got three sophomores. Pretty exciting. I feel like you're only as good as your weakest pitcher, if you will, and Carlos Carrasco did pretty well. Obviously, he made the team, so he did pretty well in spring. But even with Logan Allen, who did have a pretty good outing the other day against the Twins, I think it was six innings, struck out a good handful. If you were to pick those three sophomores, those three young sophomores that we're so excited about, for me, he would be the weakest one. Mm-hmm. So I think that as long as he is on and doing what he needs to do, he doesn't have the velocity of Bybee and Williams. He's also not as big as Bybee and Williams as well. And that doesn't mean that he's not good. He is really good. But like I said, just somebody who I think would be the weakest of the three, on top of having a 38-year-old starting pitcher in his return to Cleveland. It's not ideal. So as long as he is on and healthy and hitting his spots, because sometimes he can get pretty wild. I feel like his front shoulder flies open sometimes and he doesn't hit his spots. But that's just me being nitpicky, of course. But but yeah, like I said, he's a good pitcher, but somebody who I think is the weakest of the three. So not that the other four need to pick him up, but I guess it's not that I don't have confidence, but I would have the least amount of confidence, I guess, if he was pitching, which sounds terrible because I do like him, but it's, I don't know. We have better pitchers, I guess. So,
yeah, I always fear Shane Bieber, even if he's not quite healthy. But I will say I've seen Cookie way too many times just get obliterated while he was on the Mets.
Yeah, it was rough. So
much as I love him.
Yeah. It wasn't enjoyable to see as a Cookie fan. I mean, when the trade went down, none of us were happy about it because it just seemed like a throwaway. Like, why did you put him in the trade? But he's come back and, you know, it wasn't good in New York. But like I said, he's come back. It's been better here in Cleveland so far. Didn't plan on being that fifth starter. Of course, like I said, Williams got hurt. We've had some injuries, even in the bullpen, too. We just had one pitcher come back, I believe, and Ben Lively, one of our free agent acquisitions over the offseason, is scheduled for a rehab assignment in Columbus this week. So we're dealing with some injuries, And of course, he's had to step in, and somebody else who was a rotation option, Xavion Curry, who was a starter in AAA Columbus and has made starts before and is a starter, but because of the better pitching that we have, has been in the bullpen. He's been hurt as well. So we've got some good pitchers that are hopefully coming back that can contribute and will contribute and do some good things. But despite the really good pitching that we have, like I said, we've had some injuries as well. So we're trying to pick it up with Bieber and McKenzie, who are both coming off of arm injuries. So it's not ideal.
Can I interest you in a Mike Clevinger?
No, thank you. I did see that signing go down, and I knew you weren't happy about it. So so it'd be interesting to see your tweets and your donations again all season. Of course, we won't be rooting for him either. Cleveland doesn't like him anymore as well. So, I mean, you're not alone.
I don't. Well, I mean, 29 teams passed him up twice, so.
That is true. Yeah, it's been this late since he signed, so it's not like people were itching to get him either, so.
No.
And for whatever reason, Chicago said, come on back.
You know, our best acquisition in the offseason was the S'mores milkshake, apparently. So,
yeah. Yeah. It's been, I've seen other, like, fans of other teams talk about it. I would love to have that in Cleveland. I may need to come out there and get it myself because it does look pretty good.
It looks amazing. But for someone who hates dairy and gluten, I don't. You know if it's worth the stomach ache later.
Yeah, I get it. Especially the price, too. You know, you're going to pay an arm and a leg for it.
Yeah, you always do. I know they had last season, I think. Well, no, I didn't even go to a game last season, so I don't know if it was still there. But they had, for the longest time, the churro milkshake, which was like horchata milkshake with this ginormous churro just dipped inside of it. And that was incredible. So I believe that the new S'mores one is great. But I'd have to share it with somebody that's so much sugar.
Yeah.
So with this, and I know that you do have a lot of great threatening players to the White Sox, who would be your pick this series to be their biggest threat?
Ooh, good question. To be honest, I have to say either Kwan or Jimenez, just because Kwan, he's on the record saying that, you know, he's been noted for his patience at the plate. He normally takes the first pitch, and so far this season, he has stopped doing that. He's not letting pitchers get over with that first pitch fastball. Just yesterday, he had 3 hits against the Twins. Jimenez batting in that 2-hole right behind Kwan looks like his 2022 self again. Even when he doesn't hit the ball hard, it seems like his plate or his pitch selection is better. His swing is better. He's hitting the ball harder, more solid. So I'd probably say them two, because then they're just going to set the table for Ramirez and Naylor behind them.
Yeah.
So I'd probably say one of those two.
Yes. Kwan has been incredible. And I hate to admit that he's really fun to watch when he's not playing the White Sox.
Yeah, and I mean, he's not a power hitter, but he already has a home run on the season.
Yeah.
So look out, I guess, because he could go deep at any point at this point.
Yeah, he's excellent. Mm-hmm. But with that said, what fears do you have going into this series? I know you're not afraid of the White Sox, but maybe.
Yeah. I guess I would say the pitching. Just because I do feel like maybe having PTSD from last year, we tend to make mediocre to average pitching look really good against us. And I feel like if your guys' pitching is on point, and then you have Robert in the lineup, of course, we don't want that one guy to beat us, you know. So I don't want our lineup to kind of press and push and get hits and push guys across. Because so far it truly has been a team effort to where everybody knows we're not a power hitting team. I mean, it's one guy after another. We string our hits together, and that's truly what it's been over the first week of the season. We have hit some home runs, which is refreshing to see because we haven't hit any last year. But getting timely hits, getting extra base hits, it's been fun to watch. Because it's not just one guy or even two guys. I think the Seattle series, game one, it was like 1 through 4, 1 through 5. And then literally game two, it was 5 through 9. So it truly took the entire lineup to push the runs across. Plus, we're leading baseball in run differential with plus 28. So I just don't want us to run into an average pitching staff and then that momentum to stop. You know what I mean? So, like I said, it's been fun to watch so far, and hopefully it continues, especially with the home opener. We don't want to disappoint the home fans.
Yeah, for real. Well, the good news is you have probably the worst leadoff man on the White Sox coming for you with Andrew Benintendi, who can sometimes get a single at best.
And he's heard this before. I mean, he's played for the Royals.
Yeah.
You know, so he's been in division. He's familiar with Cleveland pitching. So I wouldn't be surprised if he has a good series, you know. Mm-hmm.
But then you've got Moncada and Robert. And if Moncada, he's looked a little better. He had a pretty rough season last year because, again, injuries are brutal. But he looks good. He looked good in spring training. He's looking good right now. So you've got those two that can do anything and get on base. And then you have the likes of Gavin Sheets and Andrew Vaughn to just completely fail and go nowhere. So
I was going to say, you guys don't have Jake Berger anymore, who tormented us last year, because that definitely would have been my pick for somebody who I was afraid of. But I honestly forgot about Moncada. I'm glad you brought him up, because somebody who, like Robert and Jimenez, has been good in the past. Mm-hmm. But like you said, has, you know, injuries and whatnot, hasn't been itself. I wouldn't be surprised if him and Benintendi have a good series against us. They're familiar with our pitching. Moncada's been there for forever. So, yeah. You know, like I said, he's always somebody to be afraid of, I think, no matter if he's on or not, just because I feel like it only takes one game or just in that bat to kind of get somebody going, especially this early in the season. So hopefully that doesn't happen against us.
Yeah, I do miss Jake Berger, though. I miss him so much. I just watched his 2 home runs.
Yeah, him and Josh Bell, former Cleveland Guardian, they're down in Miami tearing it up. I think they both hit a home run that game. He hit 2, and then Josh Bell hit 1, and they're winless. That's something I didn't think would happen so far, but that's what you get for treating your front office staff poorly. But we don't have to get into that.
Tim Anderson has even had a home run down there.
I'm actually rooting for him. Miami is actually one team that I'm kind of like keeping my eye on, mm-hmm. you know, from a distance, and I'm rooting for him, Tim Anderson included, because he last year obviously wasn't himself, you know, somebody who's led the league in average for a couple years, tormented us. So somebody who I hope gets back to his normal self. Josh Bell, too, especially since I was happy with his signing last year and it didn't work out here. And he goes down to Miami and just a complete 180. So
sometimes you just need a change of scenery to turn your whole season around. So I'm with you. I'm rooting for that team in general. There are just too many guys on that team that I do like and I love watching. So
yeah, they're too talented. They have too many good personalities and, like I said, too much talent on that team to be poor. They made the playoffs last year, you know. So hopefully they turn it around.
I just hope Tim is at least somewhat close to batting title Tim Anderson. Mm-hmm. That's all I want for him, because I adore him so much.
Yeah, he deserves it for sure.
Yeah. So with that, what are your keys for them to really, for the Guardians to just take this series from the White Sox?
I'd say that team friendly hitting. It's not going to be on one guy. Try to piece those hits together. Don't try to do everything yourself. Don't try to be the hero, especially in front of the home crowd. They'll probably be hyped because it's the home opener, but I think just stay true to yourself and don't get outside of your comfort zone. You know, don't try to do too much. And then the pitching, just keep doing what you're doing. We got 2 great starts from Shane Bieber. Everybody else, just kind of follow him. Hopefully McKenzie has a bounce back start after the Seattle start last week. I'd say those two. just keep the pressure on the pitching, stolen bases, get those extra 90 feet if you can. Yeah, just piece everything together. Don't try to do too much and hit it out the park when you can just hit a double and get the next guy up, you know, because the entire lineup pretty much is surprisingly doing well. Even Tyler Freeman, our new center fielder, has been doing pretty good. Brian Rokiar, our new starting shortstop out of camp, has been doing pretty good out of the nine hole. So guys are hitting where they're comfortable. Even Jimenez has hit second. He's hit seventh, and it seems like no matter where you put him, he's gonna do well. Like I said, he looks like he's back to what he was 2 years ago. So hopefully he just stays within himself, and our hitting coach is happy, I'm sure, and fans are definitely happy because it was rough last year.
Yeah. I do hope for a nice, healthy, good season for Tristan McKenzie too, because again, so unbelievably talented and just a good guy all around.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm a little biased because he's my favorite guy on the team. I have his jersey. He follows me on Twitter. Little humble brag. But yeah, somebody who I've been a fan of for years, even when he's in the minors, and he came up and had those injury problems, and it's been rough for him. But, you know, 2 years ago, he had a breakout season. So everybody's hoping that he can get back to what he was 2 years ago, because if Shane Bieber does get traded, he's going to be our ace. He will be our best pitcher, I believe. So you hope that we all know the talent is there. The stuff is there. He's trying to develop another pitch outside of his fastball and curveball. So, yeah, hopefully good things.
Yeah, I adore him. He's probably my favorite on the Guardians, too. I mean, there are a lot, again, Grays have a lot of great players that I do appreciate watching. But, yeah, that's how I feel. That's all how I've always felt about Andrew McCutchen. And he's not had the best of years lately, but I've been watching him since 2007. Yeah, 2007 is when he made his debut in the minors in Indy. So I've been watching him his entire career, professionally at least, and I just adore him. I have too many Andrew McCutchen shirts to count. He's just one of those like great guys who's also a goofball. And
Yeah, and it's good that he went back to Pittsburgh too. I feel like that was great for them, great for baseball. I love to see it just because, I mean, that's where he started out. That's where he had he won his MVP. You know, they made the playoffs for the first time in decades when he was there. So, and I think he's been injured, if I'm not mistaken. So I think he's coming back, because I saw something that MLB social team posted something with him. He was it posted a video, but yeah, good to see them, especially the start that they got off to this year and last year, even though they fell off dramatically.
Yeah, it was fun while it lasted.
That was so wild to see, because I thought they were going to make the playoffs, but long season, as we know. But for him to kind of be a piece of that, I think was just good for baseball in general. So hopefully he comes back this year and is a key piece for them, because they're doing it again so far.
But actually, we just went ahead and went into MLB, which is fine. That was next on my list. Do you have any hot takes, sleeper teams? Like, how are you feeling about this season?
Pretty good overall. Sleeper teams, I'm not sure. I think it's good that the Angels are kind of doing what they're doing. I mean, they did face the Marlins, who are winless. So, like I said, kind of take it with a grain of salt. But, yeah, I don't know. I feel like everybody's kind of doing what we expect them to do. Or, I guess you could say you can expect some teams to fall off. Like, I don't expect Detroit to keep this hot streak going. How well the Angels will play out of this, I'm not sure, even though I do like the hire of Ron Washington as their manager.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like the Yankees are going to be in it. The Blue Jays are going to be in it. The Orioles. I feel like it's going to be what we all think out of the AL Central. I think the surprising thing for me has been the Marlins and their winless start, for sure. But I feel like everything else has been pretty average, on point to the script so far, if you will. Yeah, I think for me, there's teams that I like to pay attention to, you know, like outside of market, being Seattle, Colorado, Miami, Pittsburgh. It's kind of those like average to mid to low kind of market teams like Cleveland, if you will. Milwaukee's another one, just because they have really good talent that I feel like a lot of casual baseball fans should learn more about and pay attention to. And I think when you have teams like Seattle, who made the playoffs a couple years ago, Miami, who's made the playoffs, I think, in back-to-back years, Pittsburgh, who's gotten off to good starts in back-to-back years, I think it can make baseball more fun as a whole when it's not just, you know, New York, Chicago, you know, Los Angeles, whatever the case may be, and even Texas. I mean, I don't think anybody expected Texas to win the World Series last year facing Arizona, of all teams. If you were to tell me it would be an AL West team, I think we would all say Houston.
Yeah.
And even the poor start that they got off to, but I don't expect that to last at all. So yeah, it's kind of tough this so far. I don't really have an answer. This is my long way of saying I don't have an answer, unfortunately, just because as a huge baseball fan that I am, I'm just enjoying watching every single game so far. But yeah, I think it's kind of to the script so far. And yeah, after 1 week, it's kind of hard to say. So maybe check back after the end of April, maybe after a month is gone.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I do agree with the whole script thing. And I wonder if the Rangers are going to make it back. Like, I kind of feel in my gut that they might at least go pretty far. And all those Texas teams are just pesky.
I mean, they should, just because of the talent they have. Like, it's no surprise, I guess, that they won the World Series, just because, like I said, the talent they have, Semien, Seager, Young, Heim behind the plate, the pitching staff. I mean, you had DeGrom, but of course he had the surgery, so he's not there. They had Scherzer after the trade deadline last year. So, I mean, they certainly have the names to put together a good series. Garcia, I mean, he had his breakout season last year. So they're not really a sleeper team anymore, especially this year. Come being the defending champs, it's kind of hard to be a sleeper team when you're the champions. But it's definitely a team to pay attention to where they're like, hey, Houston, like, we're not the little brother anymore. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to win this division, you got to go through us. Plus, we hold the trophy this year. So, yeah, so we'll see. Hopefully Seattle makes a good run, because they have some good pieces as well. And we'll see about Los Angeles. I mean, they have a winning record. I mean, opening day went about as stereotype as you could get. Mike Trout hits a home run, but they lose like in double digit runs.
Yeah.
So it's tough because they have Rendon, who hasn't been very good. They have the young first baseman who they drafted and then brought up the same season. Zach Neto batting ninth. I'm a childhood Angels fan, so I know a little bit more about them than I probably should. But you know, with Ohtani not being there, it's going to be tough for them, obviously. And then Ohtani in Dodger blue got off to a rough start, but has hit two home runs in a couple days. Mookie is off to an excellent start. And then Yamamoto, who didn't have a good spring training and then had a rough outing against the Padres, bounced back pretty well in his second start. So, I mean, just there's so much to pay attention to in baseball. And I feel like that's the beautiful thing about it. Even if it is New York, who has Soto and Giancarlo and Judge, obviously, and he's obviously Cy Young Award, but he's on the injured list, and they have Marcus Stroman, who had another good outing, who I'm personally a fan of, and I hate that he went to the Yankees because I don't like the Yankees.
Yeah.
None of us do.
Well, Kutch went to the Yankees and had to shave, and he cut his hair. And why?
Yeah, I think everybody universally hates that policy. Even I'm blanking on his name from Boston, had to shave his beard, and he just looks like a completely different person.
Oh.
And it's like, oh, you lost all your aura when you had to do that. And then the manager, I always blank on names when I'm recording on podcasts, but he has a one chain rule, because he always wears like 3 or 4 or 5 chains, and he's like, yeah, one chain rule. So it's like, Jesus Christ, the Yankees just find a way to ruin anybody's personality. Yeah. But even with that said, there's things to pay attention to out of the Bronx, even though we all hate the Yankees. So, like I was saying, it's being a baseball fan, especially a diehard baseball fan, is such an excellent time this time of year. Because there's so much to pay attention to, even the teams that you think will finish with a losing record. Like I said, I was watching the Colorado game earlier. Who are they facing? I forget. But they were up 6-2, blew the 4-run lead in the top of the ninth. I don't know what happened because I jumped on here. But Chris Bryant finally hit a home run. He was getting booed earlier in the game. Nolan Jones, former Cleveland Guardian, had 3 hits, I believe. So, like I said, there's so much to pay attention to all around baseball that there's too much for it to be just one team or one division. And I love it. You know, I could watch baseball all day.
Yeah, same. Also, shame on them for booing Chris Bryant.
I mean, it's been rough for him after Chicago. Like, I don't want to say I'm not surprised, but at the same time, because it's always tough booing your home players. And they were in Chicago, I think last weekend, and he got a standing ovation, you know, going back to Chicago, obviously helping out with that 2016 World Series team that I will never get over for obvious reasons. But like, he deserves it because, I mean, that team was great and he was a key part of that. And so rooting for him, that's somebody else that I'm rooting for as well. Tovar, their shortstop, just got a 7-year extension. He's pretty good. So like I said, there's so much to pay attention to. So much young talent, even if they're on a bad team, that you could tune in and say, I want to watch that guy because he's going to give me a show.
That's kind of how I am right now, because the White Sox are just so bad and they just keep doing things that frustrate me more and more each day. I've kind of just gotten to the point where I was like, I'm just going to watch players. Like, if I'm interested in a game, I'm going to turn it on. If it's a player I love, I'm going to watch him. And I'm not going to focus all of my energy on a bad team when I can't quit this sport, no matter how hard I try.
Yeah. And of course, I don't want to hamper on the White Sox even more. But I feel like, especially being a White Sox fan, just because you may not have much to cheer for. So it's like, well, who else can I root for? Let me go find another player or another team that I can say, you know, all right, the White Sox lost, but maybe I'll watch this team tonight and go home happy.
Yeah, on the nights I don't have coverage, I'm just going to watch another team.
Exactly.
All right, well, that's what I've got. Please let people know where to find you.
Of course, yeah, you can see it below. My Twitter handle is Amari_M17. That's 1-7. I do my own podcast, Believe in Guardians, for the Believe Podcast Network, where I cover the Cleveland Guardians, of course. I have different guests, of course, such as Crystal. She's been on my podcast before, and I would love to have her back later in the season. But covering them, I do another podcast with a good friend of mine, Tom Matheny, where we also cover the Cleveland Guardians. Yes, you heard it. I have 2 Cleveland Guardians podcasts. But I'm also a writer. That's kind of where I got my start. I haven't written anything in a very long time, so I should really get back to that. But I cover basketball, baseball, soccer, I mean, you name it, college sports. I love sports. So if it's sports related, I'm probably going to be watching it. Just like when we're done here, I'm going to be watching the Final Four because it's hosted here in Cleveland.
Yes.
And then more baseball, too. Probably I have 2 TVs that I'm probably going to be watching at the same time because I love sports. But yeah, give me a follow on Twitter. It's cliche, but I do have a link tree in my bio where you can follow me on different platforms. You can see different articles I've written in the past, podcast episodes, et cetera, et cetera. So go give me a follow.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you again for coming back. It is always a pleasure to have you. Best of luck in the series. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.